We pick up Noah's Ark, the Genesis story, as Noah parks the boat. The Lord God said to Noah and to his sons with him, "Be fruitful and multiply. Abound on the earth and multiply in it. As for me, I am establishing my covenant with you and your descendants after you, and with every living creature that is with you, the birds, the domestic animals, and every animal of the earth with you, as many as came out of the ark. I establish my covenant with you, that never again shall all flesh be cut off from the waters of a flood, and never again shall there be a flood to destroy the earth." God said, "This is the sign of the covenant that I make between me and you and every living creature that is with you for all future generations. I have set my bow in the clouds, and it shall be a sign of the covenant between me and the earth. When I bring clouds over the earth, and the bow is seen in the clouds, I will remember my covenant that is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh, and the water shall never again become a flood to destroy all flesh. When the rainbow is in the clouds, I will see it, and I will remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is on the earth." God said to Noah, "This is the sign of the covenant that I have established between me and all flesh that is on the earth." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. God makes covenant. "I will be your God, you will be my people." 5 separate times in the scriptures, God makes this eternal commitment. God enters into binding relationship with humanity in covenant with Noah, Abraham and Sarah, Moses, King David, and the new covenant in Jesus Christ. For the next 5 weeks, we will center on each in turn. Boy, wasn't that a scintillating sentence making you look forward to the rest of Lent? Let's put it this way. In the beginning, God. And God creates the heavens and the earth and creates humanity and loves humanity with a perfect love. God remains unconditionally faithful always. Humanity, that would be us, we kind of wander away sometimes. We run away at other times. We reject and then have the audacity in despair to cry out again and again, "Lord, come back, help me, save us." We are totally messed up, and God keeps taking us back. God does so through covenant with Noah and Abraham and Sarah, David, Moses, and unwaveringly and always, God gives his whole self to humanity and expects us to give our whole selves to God. We have trouble with that second part. We have trouble giving ourselves over to God and to the Son of Man. And the new covenant in his blood, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son so that everyone who believes in him may not perish but have life eternal. God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world may be saved through him. God makes covenant. "I will be your God. You will be my saved, redeemed, loved, eternal people forever and always." Today we start the covenant with Noah. This is the covenant, though, that leaves me the most uncomfortable. Safe to assume we all know the story of Noah's Ark. We pick up the story with the Ark parking on dry ground after the flood. And God promises, makes covenant, that he will never again destroy humanity with floodwaters. The righteous man Noah and his family now begin to repopulate and rebuild the earth and humanity's relationship with the Lord God. And if it had all gone as planned, our Bible would be really, really skinny. But Noah, his family, their descendants, and all of us, we are human. We're really human. All week long, as I've been thinking about the story of Noah's Ark, All week long, I've been thinking about Bill Cosby's Noah's Ark routine. For a generation of us, Cosby's stand-up routine about Noah is gold, pure gold. It's been continually looping through my mind all week. Noah, it's the Lord. Right. You know, you've heard it. You know, Lord, I don't want to do this. How long can you tread water? It's gold. For others of us, Bill Cosby was, according to TV Guide magazine, the number one television dad of all time. He was the funny, silly, and ultimately so wise Dr. Heathcliff Huxtable for 8 full seasons and nearly 200 episodes. For still others, and most recently, Bill Cosby is a person we've come to associate with terrible allegation and despicable acts against women. Here's my problem. All week long, I've been thinking, Noah in Cosby's voice. I reminisce about the happy times listening to those scratchy record albums when I was a kid. And I admire the brilliance of his craft. Then my mind jumps to the role model that he and the Cosby Show were for families and how his program may have actually helped our culture step forward. Then I feel yucky. Then I feel bad. Then I feel angry. I don't want to think good things about him right now. I don't want to credit him with anything, and I certainly don't want his voice in my head. I hesitate to even say the name Bill Cosby, because what you might be thinking right now in this moment, I might have just lost you and lost your attention as soon as I said his name. To me, this all speaks of the complexity of human beings and God's great faithfulness in keeping his loving promise to us when we can act so badly. When we can turn away from the right, when knowingly we hurt each other. This is hard stuff for me. Sometimes I don't know how to feel about my strong belief in God's promise not to ever give up on us. I don't know how to feel sometimes when I think and I believe so hard in that great hymn, Great is Thy Faithfulness. I believe it, but am I always happy about it? My sins might not be despicable or calculated or as terrible as some, but all of us have sinned, have fallen short and sinned. Each of us. And how should I feel about myself? How should I feel about more despicable acts of people? So I went back to Noah in the covenant, and this is why I'm a little bit uncomfortable. As we continue in chapter 9, the righteous man Noah begins reconstituting the earth by planting his vineyards. Without pulling any punches, the biblical writers tell us he got drunked up. He got drunk, falling down, passing out drunk. He embarrassed himself. He embarrassed his sons. He reacted badly to the embarrassment and broke relationship with his son Ham. Noah was human. He sinned and fell short of God's glory an instant after receiving God's providence. Yet God remains faithful. Think about that. It would have been so easy to say, Noah's just like the rest of them, isn't he? I made covenant, but they broke it just like that. Why not flood the earth again? I would have considered it. I probably would have even done it. I've joked at the beginning of worship this morning that I like being Presbyterian because of our Constitution, the Book of Order. I mostly like being Presbyterian, a Reformed believer, because sometimes our confessions and our creeds and our Presbyterian heritage can say things, express our faith when I'm struggling to put something into words. The Brief Statement of Faith, 1983. Loving us still, God makes us heirs with Christ of the covenant. Like a mother who will not forsake her nursing child, like a father who runs to welcome the prodigal home, God is faithful still. Amen? I love these words. God loves, God forgives, God is faithful forever. But faced with Noah's sin, faced with Cosby, faced with the person who has sinned against me, these words take on more than just an intellectual meaning. I don't know how to feel about this sometimes. God has made an everlasting, unconditional covenant of love with humanity. Yet I'm so angry. And I've been angry for a long time. Irate from the bottom of my heart. And the list keeps growing. From Oklahoma City, Columbine, 9/11, Aurora, Las Vegas, Sutherland, our fallen police officers, and now Parkland. We hurt, we rage, we grieve, and we know God is faithful in all of what we are feeling. God is faithful forever. God is here. God so loved the world that he gave us Jesus Christ. I hope you feel that assurance sometimes. God is here. I will be your God. You will be my people. This is God's emotional covenant with us. His emotional tie that he will never break. I don't believe in coincidence. My go-to Bible anymore is BibleGateway.com, and I went to it yesterday morning and clicked on it in the verse of the day, Romans 8. Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will hardship or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or the sword? No. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. The easiest thing I'm going to do today and this week is pray for children and families, friends and loved ones all over America and all over the world who grieve. Pray for those whose lives are changed because of human sin and evil. Pray for all the people who have been wronged in body or in spirit by another person. Pray that they know God is with them, that they can get a glimpse, just a feel in their hearts that nothing can separate them from the love of Christ, even now when they're truly not feeling like conquerors but are victims. A harder challenge for me today is to pray for myself. I know the eternal love of Christ. I know I need to pray to get over the hatred, get over the anger. I know that while I can feel as deeply as I feel for people, I don't have to be spitting or hateful in any of that. I no longer have to feel the need for revenge. I can pray and still feel and reach out to those who are victimized in love, but I don't have to take the next step to hate my enemy. Pray for all of us that we can know forgiveness and support and love of Christ in our lives when we have been wronged and when we have sinned and fallen short. Now, here comes the hardest challenge for me today. I don't often bring the wall down, but this morning I am. Usually I leave just a little bit of a wall between us, but not today, because this is where you're going to see my heart. The hardest challenge for me today is to pray for those who act remorseless, who do unimaginable evil. I don't want to have that prayer. I don't like it. This is not a personal prayer that I want to make. This is not a prayer I am happy about in any way. This is a prayer I make with a tight chest, a congested throat, and breathing very shallowly with immense hate for what they did. Nothing can change that. This is my prayer that I'm called to make. I pray for everyone to change their hearts and those who have acted and those who are contemplating the unspeakable to change their hearts. Pray they can confess their sins and ask forgiveness. This morning I pray that we all know and can feel God is good. God is here. God makes covenant, loving us still. God makes us heirs with Christ of the covenant. like a mother who will not forsake her child, like a father who runs to welcome the prodigal home. God is faithful still.